just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Psalm, not Proverbs, but Psalms tonight. Psalm 23, probably one of the most familiar Psalms in the Bible. Amen. Psalm 23. This is not a funeral psalm, although it's used at funerals. Almost without exception, if I'm asked to have a part at the graveside, particularly if it's at the graveside, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have one preacher maybe say a few words, read some text, and another preacher pray. I'll usually, if it's my part to read text and say a few words, I'll just say a few words from Psalm 23 and read that. But one thing I've noticed, I've been to funerals that they did not use the King James Bible in the funeral service. But when they got to Psalm 23, it's almost always King James. And you know why? Because that's what people know. They know that other's not Psalm 23. That's right. And I'm glad that that is ingrained in us. Amen. That is ingrained in us to a point. And I'm deviating from looking at Proverbs. I had studied those verses out last week, actually, for last Sunday, and didn't use them. Used them on Wednesday night. I started studying on some more, but I could not get things to come together, and I didn't feel like that I could, I just couldn't get that done. And so I looked back over some things and felt like God would let us just, I'm just going to exhort a little bit from Psalm 23 tonight if I can. And I'll say this, don't let the familiarity of it steal the beauty of it. Amen. Just like what I said this morning about the gospel. We've heard the gospel so many times, if we're not careful, we'll not recognize how wonderful it is. Amen. But let's enjoy the blessings of the scripture. All right, Psalm 23, I'm going to read all six verses. And I'm not going to preach it necessarily verse by verse, but we'll look at these verses tonight and deal with the most of them. All right, verse number one, and we'll read it responsibly as we have. Verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on the word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, it has. Help us, Lord, yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Herford. Let me mention before I start in my text as well about, I did mention pray for Brother Jacob and Miss Elizabeth. I appreciate Brother Herford doing that, and for the Halls. Also, Brother Chad said that his wife was getting released from the hospital today. She had thought that would be the case, but when he got ready to leave, he said she was getting released, so praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Matt started running a fever this evening. He wasn't feeling real well this morning, but started running a fever, so he decided to stay in, and I think that's right. And so keep him in prayers there as well. And Mrs. Woodard, I'm not sure if she's left already, but is going to go spend a week with Megan in Lexington. And so pray for her, pray for that healing and all that goes with her through this time. Amen. So many different needs here in our church, but if we'll pray for one another, I believe we'll be blessed and see God work in that answer to prayer. Amen. Amen. All right. In the text that I've looked at, that phrase, the first five words is my title, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. Now this is a familiar text, been read, memorized, quoted many, many times, been preached from. I look back over my notes and look at the sermons that I've preached. I've not preached from this text, not as my majority text. I've alluded to it at different times, but I don't write down all the verses I allude to, of course, but the majority text that I've used, I've got a list of what I've preached from, and I haven't preached from Psalm 23 as a text verse until tonight. But I'll say this, my comments on this won't be anything new, and in that sense might not be anything exciting, but I'm glad the old story's still exciting. Amen. And the old story's still true, and matter of fact, Peter talked about stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And so we need to be reminded of some things. Amen. Now, in my study, I had noticed, I'd seen this before, made this note, that many scholars don't believe David wrote Psalm 23 out in a pasture somewhere when he had been doing his job as a shepherd boy. Most of them believe, or at least some of them believe, that he probably wrote this psalm while he's sitting on the throne of Israel. And the possibility, you think about this, the possibility being that David is not, he's not in the, in the job of looking over the sheep, but he's in a bigger job looking over bigger sheep as the king of Israel. And David remembered what it was like being a shepherd boy. And David, in his prayer to God, in his song to God, was thanking God for being his shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I think about perhaps if he's sitting on the throne in the kingdom, David didn't have a peaceful reign. Those 40 years were not all peaceful. He had a lot of disturbances. He had a lot of problems. And matter of fact, I couldn't imagine. I mean, try to pastor about 70 people. And you know how people are. Then try to think about being a king over millions maybe, or hundreds of thousands of people, but millions of people. I'd imagine there's a lot of problems that arise. And I don't doubt that David probably remembered some times when it seemed like things were more peaceful, when it seemed like things were going a little bit better. Can I tell you, in America, America has seen better days. Amen. I'm not trying to bring up a slogan, but we need to make America great again. America has been great. I know we had one man said America never was all that great. That's not true. America has been great. Amen. And matter of fact, I believe it still is. And I think we ought to believe that way. Amen. But, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not dealing with who's in office or who's not in office. But I'm saying, matter of fact, even, I'll just back up and say this. When our former president was in there, America had seen better days even before that. Amen. And so, we can do like David. We can look back and remember times when it didn't seem like there's so many difficulties, when it didn't seem like there's so much disturbing us in our mind and problems that was all around us. But we can thank God that even in this field we're in today, the Lord is our shepherd. He's the one that's guiding us. Amen. And I believe that's what he's dealing with in this text. God brought David from the sheep coat up to the throne. God did that. It wasn't David's doing. Amen. God's the one that brought you up from the cesspool of sin and set you on a church pew. Amen. It's God that did that. And we ought to give him glory and honor. Amen. I got three quick, easy points that I want to point out about these scriptures and about the job of the shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, and thinking about that, Christ Jesus being our shepherd. Number one, the shepherd guides his flock. And then number two, I'll talk about the fact that the shepherd provides for his flock. And then number three, I'll talk about how that the shepherd guards and protects his flock. So look at this, how the shepherd guides. Look at verses 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We could sing that song, he leadeth me. He leadeth me. Amen. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort wrought. Thank God our Lord Jesus leads us. The job of a shepherd is to lead his flock. Amen. You know what the job of the sheep is? To follow. Amen. Did you know that the shepherd never has to ask the flock for directions? Amen. The sheep are not to be the ones in charge of the way we go. We say, Lord, are you sure we're heading the right direction? Well, he's the one leading. He's leading us in the right direction. Amen. The job of the shepherd is to lead, while the job of the sheep is to follow. The sheep do not need to know the way. They just need to follow. Amen. They don't necessarily have to have a map. They don't have to know the directions across the trackless desert. You think about how that in Israel in particular, in that whole Orient idea, the Oriental idea of shepherding, you're moving from pasture to pasture because, and by the way, sheep don't just nibble grass. I mean, they devour it. Roots and all. I mean, they're Baptists. They believe in eating every service. Amen. And that was a joke, by the way. Although we do believe in eating just about every service. Sheep will devour the grass, and so they will devastate the pasture land, and so the shepherd's got to constantly be on the move and be on the lookout for another place with green grass, another place where there's going to be another meal. And I tell you that in our lives, sometimes as the sheep of God, we start noticing, Lord, it looks like things are drying up. Looks like our field's getting a little barren. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? No, we don't have to worry about that. Our job is to follow. Amen. Amen. There's a song that they sing in Virginia. I don't know if we've ever sung it here or not. It's a song that says, our Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Have we ever sung that? All I have to do is follow. That's what it says. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. And that is so true. That's the job of the sheep, is to follow him. Now, the sheep have no reason to fret or to fear or to worry about the way. The shepherd is the one in charge of the way. Amen. By the way, when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about pastor shepherd. I'm not even talking about the pastor. Listen, I'm the under shepherd. I understand my name's shepherd, and I'm the under shepherd. We look at that, and you're the flock. I understand. But I'm a part of the flock. I'm glad Jesus Christ is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And that's what we're looking at in these thoughts. So that's the way God wants it to be for the Christian. We don't have to know what tomorrow holds. Amen. We don't have to know what tomorrow holds. Don't even bother getting a newspaper and looking at the horoscope. It's probably going to be horrible. That's why it's a horoscope. It looks horrible. But don't even bother going down to the palm reader and paying her to tell you what the future holds. Amen. Don't even bother getting excited about all these things and what the news media is to forecasting. By the way, I read a thing, I read a thing the other day where a man was talking about it. He said that they were making, the news was that America was going, that not America, that the world was going to run out of fossil fuels by 1925. No. Wake up, Rip Van Winkle, amen. No, they thought 100 years ago, and it's the same global warming, climate change monks that said, we've only got a short time to live, we're not going to make it, people are going to starve to death, and the world's going to overheat, and the world's going to, listen, there is going to be global warming on a massive scale one of these days. But God's the one in charge of that. Amen. I'm not telling you to throw your trash out on the side of the road. We ought to take care of the planet God's given us. Amen. But also we don't have to bite our nails to the quick and worry about what's going on. God's in control of all this. Amen. I forgot the thing it was talking about was that a Rockefeller, and I was talking about it yesterday, Brother Josh. You remember, you might remember more about that, but they own Standard Oil, and he found out that a byproduct of the kerosene that is used to make lanterns, you know, burn lanterns, a byproduct of that they're throwing away was gasoline. And he learned how to harness the power of gasoline. Amen. And now look at what we're doing. What they was throwing away, now we're making it pretty good. Of course, we're paying $5 and something for a gallon of it. And it's fixing to go up even more than that, more than likely. Amen. But my point is all this is we don't have to be fretful. All we got to do is trust the Lord. He's in control of it. Amen. He's in control of it. And when I say all, that don't mean, you know, just float along. But I'm saying we don't have to get all upset. We can trust him. He knows what tomorrow holds. And by the way, he holds tomorrow. Amen. Have you ever been to a spring? You've seen water coming out of the spring. You can catch a gallon of that water and it's just as much water as there was when you started. Go outside, get you a quart jar, open it up and let the sunshine in. There'll be just as much sunshine outside as there was when you started. You know why? Because God has an eternal supply. Amen. That woman I preached on the other Sunday night, that woman with that meal barrel. How could God make that meal keep making? I don't know how he did, but he did. I don't know how springs keep pumping out water. I don't know how the sun keeps pumping out light. Amen. Amen. We could go on and on. Amen. Well, let me give you a couple of points about this, about the Lord being our shepherd. His job is to guide us. If you'll look at the past, notice how the shepherd has been a guide to you. That's what Miss Helen was doing there a moment ago when she was rejoicing in the Lord. Just look back at what all God has done for you in the past. Amen. Honestly, there's probably not been just one or two times. There's probably been numerous times you didn't know how you was going to make it. And God got you through. One way or another, maybe it was through a loved one, a family member stepping up and helping, or maybe it's through you being able to work overtime or get a second job or whatever the case was, a million things we could talk about. But there's times when we just didn't think that we was going to make it and God allowed us to make it. Look at the times in your life when you had a decision to make. And by the way, looking back at it, it could make massive changes in your life. And God allowed you to make a proper decision. God guided you in a proper decision that brought you to where you are today. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this. He's talking about God's hand guiding in our life or leading in our life. Here's what he said, quote, "There is far more of the hand of God in our life than there is of our own hand if our life is what it ought to be." Amen. Spurgeon said God's hand has more to do with our life than our hand does if our life's right with God. Amen. So I look at the past and I notice how God has led. Then I say, let's look at the present and we can see Christ being our guide now, how he is leading us now. Amen. And if we know the past and the present, surely we can trust about the future. Amen. Now, it's a lot easier to say God led me in the past. God helped me through all those storms of the past. That's easier to say than the storm cloud that's over our head now, that whatever the problem is that looks so massive and so big, amen, at the moment, it's easier to trust him from back there than it is to trust him right now. But I'm telling you, he's just as trustworthy today as he was back there in those old days. Amen. I remember a lady, my wife probably remembers Viola Kilby, Miss Viola. They came up in the Depression, lived through the Depression. And Viola's husband's name was Lonnie. Lonnie lost his job. They were so many and they didn't have anything. They didn't have any money. She said they got down to, they had chickens, so they had eggs and until they had to eat the chickens, but they had eggs and they had milk. They had a cow with milk And so they could get some milk, and then they had to sell the cow on, how it went on. She said they got down to, and this is her story, I'm just telling you what she said. She said they got down till they had one quart jar of homemade pickles. And she said, you might believe it or not, but she said we ate on that quart jar of pickles for a month. She said she believed God kept putting pickles in their jar. That's what she said. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I had never seen it, but I knew Mrs. Kilby, and I never heard her tell but one other lie. Amen. When she said her and her husband never had a cross word, I knew that wasn't true. Amen. But I believe that she told the truth. But here's my point in saying that, is that just like God did it in the Old Testament, He can do it in the New. Just like God did it in the New Testament, He can do it now. Amen. And so we can trust our God. You remember how God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, and He provided for them, millions of them, provided for them with manna every day. Amen. Water out of the rock. But you know what He didn't do? He didn't give them a month's supply in advance. Amen. They didn't have refrigerators wandering through the wilderness to store their leftover manna in. Matter of fact, the only time He ever gave them more than enough for one day was on the day before the Sabbath, so they could get enough to last them through the Sabbath. They didn't have to go out and gather on the Sabbath day. But other than that, if they got more than they needed, it bred worms, the Bible talked about it. It wasn't any good. Here's my point with that, is that God very seldom gives us more than what we have to have today. But His grace will be sufficient today. When tomorrow gets here, I believe He'll have grace sufficient then. Amen. We ought to remind ourselves of that. Also remind ourselves that we're not our own shepherd. I'm not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. It's His job to guide. And then we talk about provide, and that's in that guiding, is in the provision. And I've touched on that already. But look at verse 1 and verse 5, talks about His provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what that word want? I'll not be empty. I'll not do without. Right? That's exactly what it means. I'll not be empty. I will not do without. Verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me. Let me find my place. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It might be a dangerous place you're at, but God can still provide for you in the midst of that dangerous place you're at. I've read different books on, like, a shepherd's view of Psalm 23. I read that, Philip Keller. There's another one famous, and I can't get it to come in my head. I've read it, that talks about the shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd. And the thoughts of that, one of the things that they did, I talk about how those fields would get overeaten or would get close to it till they would need to move the sheep on. How that the changing of the seasons, they'd have to keep moving their flock. One of the things that it said that they'd have to do sometimes too, that shepherd had to not only constantly keep his eye on the sheep and the pasture they were in, he had to constantly know where there's going to be more. Sometimes he'd have to go and gather and bring in, like we'd say, bring in hay, bring in some sheaves, and bring in some things from some other places that they might have enough to get them over to that next place where that it was plenteous. In other words, our Lord is on the lookout. He knows what our needs are. Amen. He knows what our needs are. And so He is constantly on the lookout for what the shepherd needs. Now what the sheep needs. There's two main needs that we have. You know that there's physical bodily needs, and then there's spiritual needs. Physical bodily needs, we can trust God for that as well. God is concerned about our health. Amen. He is concerned about our health. He has blessed us with a measure of health. Amen. Most all of us in here, whether we might have some aches and pains, we might have some discomforts, and yet we're greatly blessed with health, to be honest with you. That we can get out and go, be at the house of God. Amen. That we can, if we want to, we can go do something. We have the strength, the ability to do that. You know what we all do? We ought to thank God for it. Amen. It's not because we've been eating so healthy. Most of us. Amen. Most of us, it's not because that we've been exercising so well. It's because we got a good God. Amen. A good God. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Amen. Amen. We ought to thank God for the supply of health that He's given us. He supplies our meals. Amen. I remember as a boy, they'd always talk about so many, you know, if you left food on your plate, Mama would say, don't you know there's millions of kids in China that love to have that. I'd always think, why don't we pack it up and send it to them then? You know, she might have packed me up and sent me. But I remember seeing pictures on the TV, Sally Struthers, some of you remember that, and she's up there trying to get you to give money for these poor little Ethiopian kids. Their belly was swollen out. It wasn't because they was fat, it's because they was hungry. They're starving to death. Poor little kids, their arms so frail, they didn't have anything, and the Sahara Desert was just taken over there, and they was in a famine time. But I'm going to tell you, God has blessed us with good things, and we ought to thank God for it. We complain when we don't have extra crunchy peanut butter. All we've got is just regular creamy. Or we complain when we just got mayonnaise. We don't have the, what's that other thing? Y'all like it? I don't like it. Miracle Whip, yeah. Dukes, that's it. There you go. Amen. Amen. Man. Amen. All right. We got to stay spiritual here now. But really, we complain when we don't have not what we need, but what we want. Amen. And I'm glad God's blessed us with our physical needs. But greater than our physical needs, more important than our physical needs, are spiritual needs. And you think about how God has supplied them. Amen. God has supplied our spiritual needs. Number one, most important thing is spiritual life. We'd still be dead in trespasses and sins if God hadn't supplied. Amen. We'd have no way of getting out of that. But then we got a Bible for spiritual light. Amen. A Bible for spiritual food. Amen. We got the Holy Spirit to guide us and sanctify us and lead us into all truth. Amen. We got all these spiritual blessings. In other words, I'll just say this. The Lord's our shepherd. He has everything we need. We can be satisfied in Him. Amen. My third point, not only the shepherd guides and the shepherd provides, but the shepherd guards and protects his flock. Look at verse number 4. It deals with that phrase. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me stop there just a minute. You know, there's a lot of people scared to death and they ain't even gotten to the valley of the shadow of death. The psalmist said, when I get in there and death is looming over me till I can see the shadow, I'm not going to fear. You know why he's not going to fear? He said, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. The shepherd guards and protects his sheep. Now, there's something David knew about. Amen. David knew about guarding and protecting the sheep. You remember what he said to Saul? I don't remember. Well, I'm sure that he never said it before. It doesn't look like that he ever even told his daddy or ever even told his brothers that he killed that bear and that lion. But he told Saul, when Saul said, you're just a stripling, you can't do this, go up against this giant. David said, I know that God's going to help me. He said, there rose up, and he talked about guarding his father's flock, guarding them, protecting them. He said, there rose up a bear. What was the bear going to do? I don't know if the bear was going to kill David or not, but the bear was going to get some sheep. And David said, you're not going to get the sheep unless you go through me. But the bear didn't go through him. He went through the bear. Amen. He killed the bear. Amen. Same thing with the lion. He grabbed the lion by the beard. Praise God. Amen. I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? Amen. He grabbed the lion by the beard and slew the lion. Amen. I think about it again. He might have said, I don't know if that lion was coming after David or not. He's probably coming after the sheep. But David said, you're not going to get the sheep unless you come through me. Amen. David stopped the lion and the bear. Then David stopped the giant. Praise God. All that children of Israel. Now, by the way, David wasn't flexing his muscles and saying, look at me. No, David said, I've got a God in heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to fear this giant. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to fear these sheep, these lions and these bears. I don't have to fear them. The Lord's my shepherd. He's going to take care of his sheep. Amen. David knew about that lion and the bear business. He knew about protecting the sheep. Now here, I thought about this. This is how my mind works. Thought about all these flocks laying out here. And one of them spots a lion. I can imagine it says, runs to mama. Mama, I'm afraid of the lion. And the mama says, you don't have to worry about the lion. David is our shepherd. He's going to take care of it. Amen. You don't have to worry about that bear. Lay down there and go back to sleep. Amen. David's our shepherd. You can trust David. That's how we ought to treat our children about our Lord. You can trust our Lord. You can trust our Lord. You don't have to be afraid of every shadow. You don't have to be afraid of every doctor's report. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of all the roarings of the devil. I imagine maybe that lion roared and one of them little lambs said, roar if you want to, lion. We've got David as our shepherd. We're not afraid of you. Amen. Amen. But when I think about that, I think about the fact we've got the Lord as our shepherd. We could, listen, our Lord not only defeated the lion and the bear and the giant, our Lord took on Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Our Lord didn't just take them on, our Lord defeated them. Amen. Our Lord is a mighty man of war. Our Lord's a mighty man of battle. Amen. Our Lord defeated the lion and the bear and the giant and Satan himself. Our Lord defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so we can say, like Paul said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? In other words, howl if you want to. Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear because the Lord is my shepherd. Turn with me. I'm going to leave Psalm 23 just in closing. Turn to John chapter number 10. Our Lord himself talking about the sheep. And the shepherd, he tells us he's the good shepherd. John chapter number 10. I'm not going to read it all, but let me read you three verses of it and close with this thought. John chapter number 10 and verse number 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, when you're in the shepherd's hand, you're in good hands. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord may have spoken to you. Perhaps you would like to come pray, need to come pray. I want to give you the opportunity to do so. I'm glad we've got a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Matter of fact, he's the great shepherd. I'm glad he takes care of his sheep. Sometimes we get worried. And that's not to say that there's nothing out there to worry about, but I am saying we can take it to Jesus. And you can trust Jesus with your problems. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for how good you've been. Lord, I pray that you'd show yourself strong and mighty and powerful to your people. I'm thinking about Brother Jacob and Miss Elizabeth up at the hospital. Show yourself strong to them. They can trust you. Miss Angie there at the hospital with her dad. Show yourself strong there, Lord. Move in power and get glory. Father, I pray for needs that we have. Gas prices going up. All this confusion and death and destruction and disease running rampant in our land. Lord, help us to recognize the Lord is our shepherd. We can trust you. We can tell you our troubles. We can trust you to take care of them. Lord, I pray bless in this time of invitation. You get glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, you obey the Lord.
155.
155. As we sing, do you need to come?